You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Okay, who's going to... Jarrus, are you going to do the opening?
Yes, just give me a second to bring Craig.
Oh, no, you don't need... You've got StreamerBot, so you can bring Craig.
Yes.
Just as a backup.
Now recording.
Exactly. Hey, everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. And this is a special edition. There was no Friday audio chat last night, and there will be no fart podcast today. So we decided to create a joint venture and make it sort of a mix-up between the two at a kind of a different time than originally.
The fartologist.
Exactly, the fartologist podcast. So I am here, Geris, from Geneva, Switzerland. I am with Rollo and Exoteric. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. So, yep, our producer is working this weekend. We've just signed up for another year of Fart Podcast, so we've got another year coming, so that's good. And, yeah, our next show, well, maybe next Friday, I'm going to do a just shameless plug, Fart Podcast 46, or Sunday, because Rick and I will be going to see the baby animals and the angels, and hopefully Velocet will come and join us. So, yeah, Rick, did you want to say something, and then we've got a few things to talk about?
Well, the big news last week was Robin Millett passing away.
I knew you were going to say it. I already had it written down.
And I'm really of the opinion that was innocent.
Okay.
I think his the fact he refused to admit any guilt and was on hunger strikes and cutting his own finger off. You know, these are really extreme things that, you know, in his dying days, you'd think he would have come out and said, yeah, okay, it was me. But he remained adamant I was innocent. And I'm pretty sure the cops definitely, it's quite well known the cops loaded him up to get him arrested in the first place. They had no evidence of it, so they made evidence. They stuck a backpack in his cupboard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of it's kind of well known in certain circles that he was loaded up. That's the phrase they use over here when the police want to get you for something. They'll stick a bullet in your driveway or a whatever, just to get. If they're really sure that you did something, they'll make sure that you get convicted. And we've already had the Colin Winchester shooter who was the head of our the federal police, was murdered in 96 or 97, and a guy went to jail. And I was told by a cop way back then that the guy was just a pain in the ass, so they loaded him up to get him for something. And he's out now. And he's found innocent. David something or other, I'm not sure what his surname is, but he was definitely innocent. He was just in the wrong place.
In your mind?
No, sorry.
Are you talking about Ivan Milat or this other guy?
No, the other guy, David, whatever his name is innocent. He did 30 years in jail for something he did not do. And I
don't know anything about that guy. I was going to talk about Ivan Milat with you tonight.
Ivan...
September 1992, two runners discovered a concealed corpse while orienteering in the Belanglo State Forest. Okay, so they found, from the dental records, bodies of those of Clark and Walters, and these were backpackers. And tell me about your, because we're of the same age almost, the backpacking stopped. There were backpackers heaps in the 80s.
Everywhere.
Driving around.
It was a thing. Backpacking was a thing that you did. It was free travel.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, like you're on the freeway. There'd be 20 people along. So I drive that freeway every week, as you know. And There are no more backpackers. They don't happen.
No.
They're gone. They're finished.
Not after right. this. Yeah.
But, yeah, so between the Ivan Milat story and then the Wolf Creek movie, which Demonized was kind of loosely based on him and another guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, the fabulous number 7 comes into it. He killed 7 people, right? And you know what I'm on about this, you know, I go on about when they use 7 in the news, there's something suspicious about it. It's a well-known figure that they'll bring out for 7 puppies that died, 7 children that were found drowned, 7 this, 7 that. And there were 7 backpackers that were convicted. Oh, sorry, they were allegedly murdered. And the whole thing of backpacking in Australia disappeared.
Sure, a few years of that.
And I'm calling it.
And it was in the 90s, so here we go. We got so the first and second victims were found on September 92, and that was Clark and Walters, and then you had your third and fourth victims, who were Gibson and Everest, and God, they're horrific. I don't want to read any of the details here, but they're bloody awful. Fifth, sixth, seventh victims, there was
horrific details in the murders.
Yeah, it was Schmidl, Habschied, and who was the other one? Neugebauer.
Is it common that you have serial killer in Australia?
What was that? Say that again.
Is it common that there is many serial killer in Australia? Or is it a rare occurrence?
No, very rare, I'd say.
Not really. Up until, again, the whole serial killer thing, if you read Dave McGowan's book on serial killers, he reckons that it was a psyop as well. But he kind of implies that they were that the modus operandi of a lot of these killings was the same kind of murders that were happening in Vietnam with the Felix program to terrorize the public. You'd do these horrific murders. The military were doing them, and then blame them to terrorize the civilians. And he compared the serial killing reporting to the Phoenix program. And I'm with him with that. The whole thing, though, like Milat was just he's a real person for sure. I know there's a nephew of his who he was a family.
Yeah, he got taken to Toronto. They wanted to get him to because he apparently, well, they reckon that woman or that young woman in
Schmidl.
No. There were three. One was taken because he was a ganger on. He worked for the council, and there was one.
Yeah, he was taken to Toronto.
Yeah.
Mm. He fitted the description of what they wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just say this. This is the bit that tends to make me think it's real. There was a guy, an English guy called Paul Onions
I was going to bring that up. They're very unlikely surname, Onions, right?
What he did is he reported this thing, and it got completely lost. But when it came out in the media, you know, the Belanglo estate, And then he contacted them again because the police are so inept sometimes. And what did he say? He said he'd been backpacking in Australia and while hitchhiking from Liverpool Station towards Mildura, accepted a ride from out of Casula and from a man only known as Bill south of Mittagong, and less than one kilometre from Belanglo State Forest. Bill stopped, pulled out a revolver and then wrote saying, I thought it was actually handcuffs he had. Yeah.
No, he said,
I'm not putting them on because once you do that, you're fucked.
Yeah, but it's not.
And he didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying the pull. So basically, they had no evidence to convict Milat, and all of a sudden, this Paul Onions shows up and gives
and
them the right story.
And fingered him because apparently Milat had a brother called Richard, who they reckon because he's one of 7 brothers. Milat apparently.
There's 14 in the family.
There's 14. Fuck.
14.
Yeah, I saw a whole thing on it.
They're Yugoslavians, and a friend of mine is his nephew.
Yeah, and the way they get out of trouble, Richard and Ivan would just blame each other, and then they could never pin it. Like, cause, you know, there's rapes and all sorts of things that apparently they're accused of.
But not convicted of.
Yeah. I watched the Steve Lieberman thing. I mean, I know it's mainstream media, but it's pretty nasty stuff. It's nasty stuff.
Well, say someone else did it, but they needed to have this whole demonized God, like this new.
So everybody can sleep safe in their bed, but at least, I mean, again, like what we said before, backpacking stopped overnight. It really did. It just never saw him. I picked one backpacker up in my life when I was driving, or I was with my friend Andre, and he it was hilarious. The guy it was late at night on a Saturday night out in the middle of nowhere. And we're going, "G'day, mate, how you going?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm on the run from the cops." Oh, Christ. luckily, I had a tire iron down at my feet. So if the guy started anything, I would have whacked him one. But he was all right.
I never did auto stop for a simple reason. When I was 15, I was with a Turkish friend of mine, and we were pretty drunk. And we made auto stop, and the car that stopped was the car of the father of my friend. So he take us home and beat up my friend pretty badly. So that experience vaccinated me against autostop forever.
What happened? So you got picked up. You were hitchhiking with your mate.
Yes, from another part of Geneva, and we got picked up by the father of my friend. Since we were drunk,
father of my friend. Father of his friend.
So he picked us up, he got me back home, and the next day when I see my friend, his face was all bruised up.
Oh, shit.
Because his father beat the shit out of him because he was drunk on the street at night.
Oh, that's a bit rough. But let's put it this way.
Have you ever hitchhiked, Rick? Rick, have you ever hitchhiked? Listen, that's what I'm saying.
In the 70s and 80s, that's how you got anywhere. You hitchhiked.
Sure.
And we're in New Zealand, like, when we wanted to go to the movies, so there were six of us, and we're all, you know, 12, 13 or whatever. We'd all split up into twos and hitchhike to the movies and hitchhike back again. And we always had an amazing story of getting picked up by some nutcase or whatever, but that is how you got anywhere. It was hitchhiking. Now, after this, the Malat PSYOP, my claim,
that stopped.
People stopped hitchhiking, and the whole freedom of just getting out and sticking your thumb out went. It's gone. And you just very rarely see hitchhikers anymore. And that's another thing about scaring people from traveling. It's the whole thing to me is it was an operation. It was to demonise. Now these people may well have been killed by some nutcase or whatever, but I've got this real doubt. The fact that seven hitchhikers were killed, the whole thing. He pleaded. He was adamantly saying, "I did not do it," up until his death. Like, he hacked his own finger off in Supermax.
Yeah, I heard about that. But he's never admitted guilt ever.
Is there any of them? And I'm telling you now, after what happened with the Colin Winchester shooting, where they loaded up an innocent guy and put him in jail for 30 years just because they wanted to, they would have whacked him because he was obviously not corrupt. Like, because federal police are really dodgy in this country. Oh, yeah. And they gunned down, their chief was gunned down in Canberra one day when he got out of his car. And they loaded David, I can't remember his name, anyway, his first name's David. He's now out and suing the government because he did 30 years instantly. I think Malat was just a demonised guy that they hyped the whole story up, and they then made Wolf Creek to a really freak out.
I never watched Wolf Creek. Let's not, I mean, I know one personally, federal cop, and he's a good guy, so let's not tarnish them all.
Oh, every one of them I've met's been dodgy. Every single one of them.
Really? Yeah, well, I know one of them, and I mean, he was dodgy in, let's just word this carefully, dodgy in certain ways, but he seemed like a nice enough guy to me. The backpackers' murders were a spate of serial killings which took place in New South Wales between 1989 and 1993. He died in prison on the 27th of October 2019, we're talking about Ivan Milat here, having never confessed to the murder to which he was convicted. Yeah. So he never confessed.
I'm going with my gut instinct here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I really do. I think it was overly hyped. I've always thought he was a bit, you know, it was much maligned because of the way that the police set him up.
Well, the pictures that they had of him with the guns and that mustache he had, he looked a bit dodgy, didn't he?
No, look, every guy in Australia that went out, look, we've all got pictures of ourselves holding a gun.
Look.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, it was like he was just the perfect candidate for to load him up. You know, he was just a transient guy. He was a bit of a knockabout. And yes, he'd been, you know, done for, you know, a few dodgy things. And next thing you know, he became the face of evil. And when you...
Martin Bryant, I think, is totally innocent.
I know you do. Totally innocent. Absolutely.
Yeah, so Ivan Milat, so, you're saying you think he's totally... So. All right. Yeah,
that's what I think, and I think it was done to destroy the whole freedom of going, jumping out and movement for free. It definitely worked.
It was the same in the U.S.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Produced by Velocet, that bumper. Thank you, Velocet.
Yes. So it was the case in the U.S. that they also tried to deter people from backpacking or making auto stop on the highway by introducing the serial killer idea.
Yeah, and you know, like Henry Lee Lucas, for instance, right? Here's a classic one. It's now coming out, like he was bailed out by George Bush. Right. They think that he admitted that he was a paid hitman for the intelligence agencies. I just say, get rid of this person, get rid of that person. He went out and did it. And he said he did a few on the side that he felt Henry Lee Lucas was definitely involved with the military. And the fact that George Bush Jr. saved him from being executed. And like he was one of the few, you know, there's a lot of dodgy stuff about him and Bundy. The claims of Bundy to have killed all these nurses on one night when he's only a little guy, and nurses are the kind of people that you will actually fight back. And he, like, I'm starting to think that a lot of these serial killers are fake.
And I watched a Ted Bundy biopic on the flight to Singapore or to Bangkok.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, Roland.
What's the latest one?
I don't know, but people watch these documentaries on these Foxtel channels and believe the stories. I'm sorry, I don't believe what they're saying happened. And I think that there's definitely people getting murdered. There's people getting, you know, the cops gunned down a guy near you.
I heard about that today. Got some guy with an axe last night.
He was on ice and he came out with a... And that's the problem. You've got methamphetamine use, people going mental left, right. So you've got antidepressant use, you've got antipsychotic use. And these people flip out when they don't get their medication or they take too much or whatever. And the cops are just gunning them down left, right.
Here's one I watched. Extremely wicked, shocking, evil, and vile. I watched it on the plane, yeah. That's the Ted Bundy thing.
The fact is that, for example, in Europe, there are some cases where they kind of take a guy, get... he was guilty, of course, the guy was guilty, but they just say, okay, it's him, case closed. And didn't look who the guy was, for example, providing children for sexual reason to...
That's right.
What was the network behind him, you know?
What was his name again? The Prince Andrew knocked around with.
No.
A case that is famous in Europe is the case of a guy named Marc Dutroux.
Dutroux, in Belgium.
Supposedly this guy was torturing, raping and abducting children for his own pleasure.
Yeah.
His pleasure and the pleasure of one of his friends and his wife, without any network behind them, without nothing, just them for the sake of it. They had access to incredible financial means, but that doesn't mean there was a network. If you were to believe the official story...
I believe there are people getting killed, and I think that the police are conveniently closing all their cold cases and just saying, well, it must have been him. So he did all of these cases. And for them, it looks good because it looks like they've solved a case. But it could be a different network, like the Finders. You know, the Finders, the whole story about the Finders. That's been confirmed now that there were networks being run, smuggling kids for sexual purposes, run through the CIA. And the finders this week got exposed again as being a real thing. And rather than just blaming some innocent guy, it was a government-run organisation. They were smuggling kids for sex. And this, so I believe all that's going on, but they're conveniently blaming the next-door neighbour or the person down the road for something that's being done by a government organisation.
Jeez, I must be wasted when I watch this extremely wicked, shocking, evil and wild. It's a 2019 film, a chronicle of the crimes of Ted Bundy from the perspective of Liz, his longtime girlfriend, who refused to believe the truth about him for years. I'm just looking at the actors list, and there's James Hetfield, Officer Bob Hayward. James Hetfield from Metallica. I never even... how did I miss him?
He just would have done a bit of a cameo, but yeah, I heard about that. Mm. But I think I'm with the Dave McGowan set that says that this was a psychological operation to terrify USA to thinking that your next door neighbour or your cousin or your father or your mother might be a serial killer. It's the same with we had the English version. We had Fred and Rose West. That was, you know, loads of people all convicted. They closed cases and all these mysterious murders and blamed Fred and Rose West, like a normal couple that lived down the road from you, could be serial killers, rather than it be something like the royal family, you know, rumoured to be involved with all, you know what I mean?
You had that Jill Dando
she was
assassination.
Whacked.
She was whacked. I really think so.
For sure. She was exposing the royal family and what's his name, the Jimmy Savile network.
Yeah, there's a good online documentary called Seven Circles that I think goes into
seven,
that.
There you go. There's that number again.
Yeah, Seven Circles. Oh my God, it's not for the faint of heart. It's hard. You know, Cliff Richard's involved in this, and the guy that sung Rock and Roll out of Joker, Rock and Roll, what was it, Gary Glitter?
I think Glitter was loaded. He was just a normal deviant, right? That got done because he had young chicks. I don't know, even know what he was convicted of, but he was demonized over. You don't hear much about Jimmy Savile anymore. You hear it all about Gary Glitter. Gary Glitter was not involved.
Well, I'm going to go for a cigarette. How about, can we have, you know how to use this thing, don't you? Can you play some Rock and Roll by Gary Glitter?
Oh, yes.
Rock and Roll, and I'll be back in...
Rock and Roll Part 2.
Rock and Roll Part 2 by Gary Glitter, and I'll be back in a sec.
Gary Glitter. Strange song. It's good music, but it's strange that they choose this specific one...
For the movie,
I think that's
the Joker. The Joker.
Interesting, yes.
Yeah.
I really don't know why they choose this specific song, but
Well, Rock and Roll Part 2 was used up till recently for the Super Bowl. He's big in America, you know, so his... Because what he had was stomping anthems, you know, big crowd anthems that all sang along. It was like football... music for Team Rock, you know, and it was the most hugest music. When I grew up, Gary Glitter was like big star, you know, and everyone loved him. And I remember my mother saying, "Oh, he looks dodgy," you know. I remember her saying, "He looks like a dirty old man."
Yes,
and that's what he was.
I figure that you are aware of the audio clip of one of the members of the Sex Pistols saying that if he had the possibility, he would murder Jimmy Savile.
Yeah, that was John Lydon, and Lydon is a fantastic character. I love his stuff. He speaks the truth, and the whole reason his personality was when he was six, he got meningitis, which put him in hospital for a year, and when he got out, he had no memory for his whole life, and he was saying that he had no memory of who his mother and father was. Or who, what he did, and when he got out of hospital, they took him home, and he had to trust, when anyone told him something, he had to believe what they said, and he said that he's always been this thing about honesty, and he goes, he needs to hear the truth, and he's always been one that he speaks his mind at every stage, and he said Jimmy Savile was up to no good back in 76.
Yes.
Right? No one listened to him. David Icke said Jimmy Savile is a pedophile on live air, you know, way back before any of this came out, you know. And he looks dodgy. I mean, you just have to look at Savile.
There is also the song Panic by The Smiths is supposedly a reference to Jimmy Savile also.
Oh, no. But
let's listen to Gary Glitter for a minute.
Okay, no worries.
Fakeologist.com, audio chat, and I'm here with Rick, and I'm here with Jerris and me, Rollo. Hey, Rick.
Yes.
We're going to see some rocker speaker, rock and roll. Me and you, what are we watching next Saturday night live?
The Angles.
The Angles, that's right. Is Susie DiMarchi in?
Yeah, excellent.
The Baby Animals.
That's
Is this the same song? No. I'd just like to say that rock and roll was used in the Joker when he was dancing on the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned that just before.
Fantastic.
I mean, you were same roughly the same age as me. That music was huge in the 70s. You know, it was everywhere. And he, as I said to Gareth before, my mother said to me, she goes, "Oh, I don't like him. I think dodgy looking, because he wasn't. He looked like a dirty old man to start, you know, because he was wearing a giant wig, and he was pretty lecherous looking. But I think he's another one completely. He got loaded up with the stuff Savile was doing.
Yeah, you know, that other fella you said, in the 50s, the pianist Jerry Lee Lewis, right? Apparently he was.
Yeah. He just married his own. His cousin.
No dodginess there.
The guy from Hogan Heroes was a massive perv, supposedly.
Oh, yeah, Bob Crane.
Bob Crane, Bob Crane was just an exhibitionist. And
yeah, there's a wonderful biopic called Autofocus.
Not so good. I didn't think it was.
Well, they miscast it. The guy that played Bob Crane was just totally miscast.
Hopeless. Crane was an exhibitionist that liked filming himself, and he was with women that were in there.
Who was his friend in that? That was accused of murdering him. It was played by that fella from Platoon.
That's right.
The interesting story is that a few years after that, one of his sons got the material and he created a website where to watch the Bob Crane video.
That's right, Bob Crane's son. Got all the video material and I did a pay-per-view.
The site is not up anymore.
Crane was deviant. He was an exhibitionist. He liked filming himself, but he was with women. Just women, and he wasn't hurting them or anything like that. Because he had the first home video recorder that you could get from his mate that was played by Willem Dafoe.
That's right, Willem Dafoe. Autofocus. Willem Dafoe was huge into it, and they became friends. And Willem Dafoe apparently was his. Well, he was a hanger-on, because Crane had all the fame and got the girls.
But he
had to take soft, what's it called? It's a horrible Australian term, sloppy seconds.
I think they've managed to divert. So instead of, instead of Prince Charles, who was a very good friend of his, Margaret Thatcher, who was a very good friend of his, and all of those dodgy politicians getting loaded up and demonised, they pointed the bone at guys like Rolf Harris, who, another one, I reckon it's, he was a dirty old, he was a dirty old man. He liked groping, not teenagers, women. He was just, he was an obnoxious but dirty old man.
My mother worked for the BBC and got trapped in a lift with him, and she... Because my mother was so ugly, he never tried it on.
but he was not. All of the girls that accused him of the younger ones were found to be lying. So Rolf Harris was another one that was loaded.
Seemed like a nice guy to me. Mum said guy.
Apparently he was like say Don our gardening guy was. Don.
Oh, Burke's backyard, Don Burke.
He was another one like that, but he wasn't doing anything dodgy with kids or anything like that. He was just an obnoxious, egotistical guy who was famous and was quite a hard person to get along with. But these are the ones that have been...
Tight bastard, too. Wouldn't pay his bloody employees, right?
Seen the funniest thing I've ever seen? Is your mate that played for Newcastle, you saw in the toilets one day when you were having a piss.
Matty Johns'
parody of Don Burke.
That
is so funny. And that's right, because he was the really arrogant, he gets to school, blah, 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 blah. But he wasn't a bad person. Deep down, it was a personality trait that he had. But so they blamed Rolf Harris. So I've always thought that the Rolf Harris thing was it's not a psyop, but it was a thing to destroy your party. We can't listen to any of his songs anymore. We've had our past erased because he was demonised as being a deviant. So, in Australia and England, Rolf Harris was a major star.
He's an easy target, though, when he's got, too little.
Too little. But that was not what he was accused of. Yeah, but that was a great... That actual song...
Or when he's going...
Exactly.
That's so the story. Be convinced of anything. Just the accusation. They did that to the R&B singer R. Kelly also. He was accused of different things. He's not yet convinced. But... His songs are not anymore on the Spotify playlist or Apple Music playlist, for example.
Yeah, he's that. Well, R. Kelly is a completely different kettle of fish there. And you're right, he's just your standard deviant, but he's a high level deviant.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and so I'm not saying.
What was R. Kelly accused? What was he accused of? Did he masturbate?
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time App does a show. Thank you for your support.
Geez, that audio is a bit rough there, Ab. I just messaged Ab. He said he would be joining us shortly. So, yeah, that's a bit of a rough bumper, that one. That wasn't produced by Velocet.
That's for sure.
What I was about to say, F. Kelly is not really accused. Some of the facts are proved that did happen because it's on tape. But the fact is that each and every person in the music industry knew that this guy was about young girls, very young girls, let's say, from the age 12 on. So the fact is that when he was accused first in 2003, there was this video where he's pissing and having sexual relation with a 13-year-old girl, which was identified by a member of her family.
I've seen the same footage with Chuck Berry doing the same thing. It was what he was into. Like, it was like getting the revenge on the white girls, was urinating all over them. And Chuck Berry was notorious deviant. Chuck Berry would make R. Kelly out to be an angel. And he seems to be getting what he did.
So the thing is that in 2018, there was this documentary called Surviving R. Kelly that brought new light to those facts. And it was not possible at that point, as far as I know, for the industry to continue working with him. So he was kind of thrown under the bus. To be honest,
I'll say this. R. Kelly, no talent. Nothing I could say. There's not a single tune that you could hum was an R. Kelly song. That music that came out, that whole hip-hop thing, it destroyed the whole thing of tonality and musicality. It's just absolute banality. And R. Kelly is a classic example of a guy that should not have been famous. That he was just a guy. Like, compared to Chuck Berry, Chuck Berry is actually a talent, right?
But Johnny B. Goode.
Way big in the DJ.
So, Surviving R. Kelly, in January 2019, Lifetime began airing a 6-part documentary series detailing sexual abuse and misconduct allegations against Kelly. According to TMZ, Kelly plans to take legal action. Within 2 weeks, Kelly launched a Facebook page. He sought to discredit the accusers who appeared to in the docuseries. Facebook removed the page for violating their standards. It appeared to contain personal contact.
Yes, but let's be honest, I watched the documentary, and at one point, there are the parents of one girl that say, yes, we knew about the allegation, we knew about the video where he's pissing on a 13-year-old, but we chose to let our 15-year-old daughter go to the studio with him and be alone.
That's the whole thing. People want their kids to be famous. And there's an amazing documentary out there called Starfuckers, it's called Star something or other. But it's about how, and they did this mockumentary, and they went around interviewing, you know, parents and saying, "Oh, can you? We want your daughter to come and do this and do that." And parents would just say, "Yeah, oh, no worries, just because if they think they can become a star." A parent will let them go and hang around Michael Jackson or hang around whatever. This is human nature that's horrific. I forget, it's called Star something or other.
No, okay.
I'll find it. Starfuckers is the Rolling Stones song, but it's there's a documentary.
Or Nine Inch Nails as well.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, 20,000, 2,000.
But what happened, the victims of R. Kelly were the classic example of parents ignoring, you know, like the Michael Jackson kids that were, you know, just just wanting their parent, their kids to.
But what evidence did they have on Jacko? Wacko was a.
There's an interesting case.
What's his name? So, never said he never touched him. That Macaulay Culkin kid said he never touched him.
He's dodgy to start with, but. I think Michael Jackson's another one that was loaded up, to be honest. And he was certainly speaking out against Sony and name-dropping. It's like same with Prince did the same thing. And George Michael, they all attacked Sony, and all three of them are dead.
That's right.
Work it out. What are the odds? You know, none of those guys were unhealthy, apart from George
was gay.
Michael.
What was it? We were listening to a song on the way home today, and I don't know, slapped me in the face. What was it? Was it Black or White or whatever? And he slapped him in the face. His nose would probably fall off. You know, remember that? What he did to his nose was just ridiculous. I mean.
He was,
And he had the gall to say, I've never had plastic surgery. Come on, mate, who are you trying to fool? Don't bullshit a bullshitter.
And his skin colour.
Oh, he had it all bleached.
That was from
when he did, what was it, 1983, when he had Thriller, the biggest thing he ever did. And then Bad, he was white man when he did Bad, pretty much, wasn't he? And then he fully went white. When he did that 1991 Black or White album, whatever that was called.
I stood outside Janet Jackson's makeup trailer one day for 9 hours.
Oh, yeah.
While she was getting her hair done right. And then she went in. So she's only, she's really tiny, but she's dark as anything. She's got really dark skin. Beautiful girl. Yeah.
Was Janet Jackson the one that Justin Timberlake ripped the boot came out? Yeah, was that Janet Jackson?
That was
at a Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yes, that got me into US football.
That was all the Super Bowl things are rituals, right? And the whole sun around the nipple ritual was a whole. It was like a ritual, you know. And
certainly Jesus. freaked out middle America. Well, oh my God, there's a boob on television. People, it's just a boob.
A black boob.
A black boob. Holy shit. God, that's got to be 10 years ago, that,
It was.
Yeah, 15.
Maybe more.
Yeah, I remember it. It was hilarious. I thought it was great. And then they tried to backtrack. Justin Timberlake said, it was just a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, fuck off. It was a ritual. It was a ritual, like all the Madonnas and Lady Gaga stuff. They are a auto temporal or reality, you know, the Crowleyan ritual. They're all rituals.
She's done the Super Bowl halftime show, and so has Michael Jackson. Remember Michael Jackson, that he appeared like on one end and then the other? They did all these fancy tricks. Yeah, it was really good. I'm a big fan of Michael Jackson. I think his music is just,
I think he's very talented, awesome. And I think I'm halfway in thinking, has he been loaded up? Yeah, because this is what's happening with these big stars. They load up a guy, and I'm talking about loading up in this term of the Australian police do to people. Yeah. They convict people over something that they didn't do and demonise them to deflect the look. So we're not looking at the Clintons, we're not looking at the royal family, we're not looking at the people who are actually probably into the stuff, and we're looking at our household name, like Michael Jackson or Rolf Harris or whatever. I'm very cynical about this.
He was an easy target.
Wasn't an easy target because he was a weirdo.
Exactly.
But anyway, I mean, he was certainly talented.
Now, speaking of talented, who have I got on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald today, November the 2nd, 2019, I've got Red Hot Chili Pepper. Flea on forgiveness is the key to happiness, to a happy life. Now, there's a talent, Flea, from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't think he's talented? No. I think he's a nobody. He's good at playing bass. Him and Anthony Kiedis from the Chili Peppers both had drug-addicted parents that introduced them to weird stuff when they were very young. And that was a very common thing. And another,
Comprehensivism is autobiography, is mentioning that he, without being really too specific, mentioned that he had a lot of liberties in his childhood.
Yeah, and guess who else did? Robert Downey Jr., who was smoking pot at 7.
Uh-huh.
And his father allowed him to do, you know. So this is this whole Hollywood gang that are into weird stuff, having children. You know, the same happened with the Mothers of Puppers, John Phillips' daughter, Mackenzie Phillips, accused the father of sleeping with her, giving her drugs, doing all the stuff. And I believe it, you know, because they were, the Mothers and the Puppers were a really strange band, you know. They had a lot of...
What was their biggest hit? I didn't... No, they're a little bit... All of my time.
You switch the radio on, you're going to hear American Puppers still to this day. And John Phillips was a part of that whole thing that McGowan, the whole underneath the... what's his book about the area in San Francisco, all these musicians mysteriously all came out of, like, the Birds... the Doors,
yes.
Mamas and the
Papas. They all have the relatives, yes, but, that were in
weird things from the valley, or weird things from, and it's about an area.
Yes, about Laurel Canyon. The name is Laurel Canyon.
Laurel Canyon.
The place where many of this, yes. Let's listen to the Mamas and Papas for a minute.
Yeah, for sure. No worries. Ever. Fakeologist.com audio chat, Saturday the 2nd of November 2019. Who are we here with? Here with Exoteric, Jerris, me, Rollo. I'm just reading this, I'm just reading this Michael Idaho story on Flea, whose real name is Michael Belzeri. Get this. Michael Peter Belzeri was born on October 16, 1962 in Melbourne and moved to New York. How about that? He's Australian. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's actually an Australian. How about that? Oop. Exoteric must have gone for a smoke. Jerris,
so
sorry, mate.
From Australia.
Yeah, yeah, he's Australian. Yeah, do you want me to read a bit of this?
I'm back. Sorry.
So Flea is Australian, mate.
He is. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he was the same generation as Downey Jr. About a little bit older than me. But you know, grew up in the '60s. Had parents that were all smoking pot. Allowed them to smoke pot, and more in Robert Downey Jr.'s case, and produced some really fucked up kids that somehow have survived.
I'm just looking at the pictures here. Jeez, he looks like his mother. Do you know, he reminds me of that famous footballer. I can't remember. I'm just looking at this article. I'll read this when I get the chance. But as a bass player, he's one of the better bass players there is.
So the guy you will think he looks like is Wayne Rooney, maybe.
He's not a bad actor either, too. He was in
Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney. That's who I'm thinking of. Yes. Yeah. He was in Back to the Future. Remember Part Two? And he's really good in that. He's not a bad actor. Yeah.
Who was in Back to the Future?
Flea.
Flea. Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. He was the guy that he was in Part Two and Part Three. He called him a chicken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was that guy. Yeah, that got him fired, got Michael J. Fox fired. Anyway, yeah, that was there. The Mamas and Papas there, right?
They were a band from that whole Valley scene that was going on back in the again Dave McGowan, who you know not even
I hear that song. All I think of is the Vietnam War. That's all.
Exactly.
Morrison from the Doors.
He was the captain, or he was the admiral of the boat that got the torpedo allegedly fired at
it. Yeah, what was that? What was that called? Yeah, the Gulf of Tonkin. Yeah, that's
but,
right.
But,
yeah.
but the interesting thing is so Jim Morrison used to say when people said, "Who you bet your parents," he used to say, "Oh, they're dead, the both of them." It wasn't for years or 20 years after he died that it came out his father actually was. And it wasn't the story that
he was not here.
His death is mysterious as well. I mean, there's a lot of...
Because he's in the 27 Club, right? With Janis Joplin and who else is in the...
Brian Jones also.
Brian Jones and Cass Elliot for Puppers. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of people in
it. Yes. So many of them. Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse, to mention a few.
Jimi Hendrix murdered by his manager, and it's quite obvious that was the case, you know. He was found dead with so much red wine in his stomach that there's no way he could possibly drink that amount of, without, you know, like, same with Kurt Cobain. He had so much heroin in his stomach.
No, well, Kurt Cobain, well, as far as I got told, was it was an issue with Geffen, and apparently Geffen, the recording, and it could have been some nefarious, because some legal activity with Geffen. What do you reckon? David Geffen?
For sure.
His head was blown off. I think I saw a picture of, like, yeah, I'd rather not think of that. Yeah, where his head's blown off.
I'm just going to disappear for 5 minutes.
No worries.
Yes, there we go. So yes, Kurt Cobain is interesting because there's many theory that allegedly his wife, Courtney Love, was implicated, or the record label, or a combination of the two.
I think she's a great actress. She was really good in that... Well, the one I'm thinking of is when she played the wife of Woody Harrelson,
Larry Flint.
Who played the Larry Flint, you know, the people versus
the
Larry.
Yes, the guy. The first movie...
Hustler, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
I've got to go for a cigarette. Can you play... do you like Courtney Love at all?
Yes.
She had a band called Hole.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was their biggest hit? Hole's biggest hit. Do you remember?
I'll look it up.
Here we go.
I am looking it up. The thing is that I don't really know what is the biggest hit, but I will pick the first
I'll know it. It's a fantastic tune, the biggest hit. Let me just
Okay, I find it. I found it. At least that is my favorite tune of her band.
Celebrity Skin! Celebrity
yes,
Skin?
Exactly.
Alright!
Oh, make me over.
That was the band All with the wonderful Courtney Love. There is something else I want to make each and every person listening here. Is the Sex Pistols member speaking about Jimmy Savile in 78, if I am correct. So let's listen to that.
Yep.
Do you think you're going to make a film?
Huh?
Would you like to make a film?
Yes. I'd like to kill a lot of people.
How many people?
Oh, about 200. Well, they'd all be famous names. I'd love to kill Mick Jagger on the film, but I bet he'd never do it because his ego would be deflated or something absurd.
Might be good for his public image.
Yeah.
So who else is on the list then? On the goner list?
Oh, it's endless, believe me. It's easier to list the people I don't want to kill.
A serious thing.
All five of them.
So how are you gonna go about this massacre?
I don't know. I just want to make a film of it. On film, I'd like to kill Jimmy Savile. I think he's a hypocrite. I bet he's into all kinds of seediness that we all know about but are not allowed to talk about. I know some rumours.
Yeah, people always tell you things, don't they?
You know, a bitch, eh? Don't you think?
On occasion.
I bet none of this will be allowed out.
I shouldn't imagine libelous stuff will be allowed out.
Nothing I said is libel.
God, you're really well trained. I mean, I'm interested in the way you've... Because when you started out, right, in making music, you were very naive because you'd never thought about what it would entail and what it could lead to in terms of lawsuits, etc. So you've really learnt the hard way.
Oh yeah, I've seen how supposed anarchists like turned into bourgeoisie. I mean Bond Street shops.
Yeah, well, I know what you're referring to. You're referring to the fact that the McLarens have opened a new shop in Bond Street, right?
Yes, I find that really strange.
Johnny Lydon there? Or yes. Johnny Rotten. Johnny Rotten is his well known from the Sex Pistols.
A fantastic human.
He seems nice to me.
He's a really genuine guy.
Exactly. He told the truth when they were doing that tour in Australia, the Filthy Lucre tour. They made no bones about it, which is what we're doing for the money.
That concert was the same night they were filming the last scenes of Dark City at Fox Studios, because I was working.
What a great film. Did you enjoy that film, Sid and Nancy? Do you remember
not
it?
Really. Yeah, I do. It was Gary
Oldman. Gary Oldman, yeah, because my wife's watching a Gary Oldman film now called whatever it is.
He's a great actor.
Remember that?
What about him? I watched him on the Netflix movie yesterday.
On The Professional.
My wife's watching a film, it's called, go and ask her in a sec, it's with Meryl Streep and, Gary Oldman, older.
Yes,
He's calmed down since he's got older, but when he played Sid Vicious out of the Sex Pistols, that's a great film. It's tragic, but awesome, but
Sid Vicious had a military father. Mm. He's from an upmarket family. There was none of the business, but his mother was a heroin addict and used to give him heroin when he was 16. Mm. So, as John Lydon said, he had that.
They were all managed by Malcolm McLaren, right?
He was, yeah. So all that punk scene, that we're all based on, there was a group called the Situationists.
Mm.
And they were all kind of like a Marxist-based organisation to, like, cause chaos, you know. And they were part of a whole, the whole English scene came out of, and bands like Billy Idol and... Generation X and things like that. The whole punk thing was an organized thing. It was not a ground roots thing like they make out it to be. It's like, you know, the poor people rising up.
McLaren was more a manager type. I mean, he had that one hit, right? One hit wonder was those Buffalo Girls Go Round the Outside.
He was bigger than that. He introduced rap to the masses. The whole... Mm-hmm. He died mysteriously too.
Did he die? I didn't even know he passed away.
He passed away. Now, he was in Svengali. He managed the New York Dolls before he managed the Sex Pistols, which were a transsexual band that were kind of bringing in this whole trans thing. And he was part of the Situationist. And his girlfriend, Vivian Westwood, is big in the fashion industry, the whole nihilist.
He died years ago, 2010.
He did, yeah. But he was a very important guy, so he brought out transsexual rock.
Looks like the lead singer of looks like the lead singer out of Simply Red, doesn't he? A little bit.
give him some friends. But so Malcolm McLaren was a very major player in this whole social engineering thing. So he was involved with the. Another band called Bow Wow Wow, which was an underage young black girl that was the lead singer that was posing naked, Annabella Sumnerala. So he was also involved, which was fantastic. I loved Annabella. But McLaren then got involved with bringing out rap to the masses, so all of a sudden that Buffalo...
Or as my father called it, C-rap.
Yeah. What I'm saying.
My father hated rap music.
Same with Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin is a very, very good producer of power rock, you know, and he was also very involved with the OTO, I would say, because when Red Hot Chili Peppers recorded with him early in the piece, they said they stayed at a house in LA and we had rituals going on. So Ruben was involved with Jay-Z, who was definitely dodgy.
Exactly.
And but low-level dodgy. Like, people say, oh, he's Illuminati and, you know, Beyonce.
No.
Like, these guys are fucking...
He's a wannabe.
They're wannabe. They are wannabes, but they're mid-level wannabes, you know. They'll never be, like, up there at the top. But Ruben's talents are great. I mean, I love Alton. He's got an ear for... Like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, it's the Beastie Boys.
I love the Beastie Boys. What's your favorite Beastie Boys song?
You want to find your right to party?
Sabotage! Come on, let's play that. Come on. Let's play
It was funny tonight. My teenage son was out here playing Beastie Boys, and I said, I think those guys are in their 70s, isn't it? And he got all upset about that. But they're not. They're probably about 60.
I like this. With a keen eye for trends, McLaren realised a new protest style was needed for the 70s, largely initiated the punk movement, for which he supplied fashions from the Chelsea boutique sexy operated with his girlfriend
Vivian Westwood.
After a spell advising the New York Dolls, McLaren managed the Sex Pistols, which he recruited the nihilistic frontman Johnny Rotten. The issue of the controversial God Save the Queen, she ain't no human being.
It was
Jubilee in 77, yeah.
It was perfectly run social change. And these guys are all working for the same team. Situationists were the kind of branch off the like a Fabian.
What a guy. What a guy. He reminds me of that. What was that 60s guy that did the...
No, he was unlikable.
The Campbell Soupkins things or whatever.
Yeah, but he was unlikable because he was a rip-off merchant. John Lydon. Yeah, they all got ripped off, you know.
What are you saying? What's peritoneal mesothelioma? Sounds like a lung thing.
It is. But let me tell you something interesting, Ross. The guy that came out of nowhere... It is still a big name, and named him with the Epstein stuff, is the head of Virgin, Richard Branson. Now, how did he make his money, right? Get this one.
Yeah.
He went from selling records out of the back of his car. This is the cover story they gave him, right?
Mm.
And next thing you know, he had a young artist came with a song called Tubular Bells, Mike Oldfield, right?
Mm.
And Branson backed the legend. This is the cover story. Backed Tubular Bells. Now Tubular Bells was used in the theme as a theme to The Exorcist, which is known to be a CIA financed and filmed and produced movie. The William Peter Blatty was in the CIA. The director Friedkin was in the CIA, and they were involved in a PSYOP.
That was a great film. Linda Blair in that was
good.
I mean, how old was she when she was saying those things?
13.
Fuck you, motherfucker. Yeah.
And that was disgusting. The movie is disgusting. And it was a run. It's acknowledged, right? This isn't conspiracy theory, that Friedkin and Blatty both worked in PSYOPs of the Air Force and whatever. So there's so much in The Exorcist that is demonic. Of the highest level, like the sounds that they used.
I loved it. I think it's a fantastic fucking film. The second one was shit, but the third one with George C. Scott called Exorcist 3 was called Legion. It was called Legion, but it's a fucking great film too. Yeah, hey, look, McLaren told Andrew Denton on Enough Rape that his grandmother always said to him, in quotes, "To be bad is good. To be good is simply boring." End quote.
Yeah, that's situationist. He's giving you situationist mantra, and that basically is a social justice warrior slash, it's a thought form. It's a revolutionary thing. It's Bolshevik. It's all those things that we're getting seen with Extinction Rebellion. Same group, same people. Cause chaos, cause nightmares, destroy society. It's all. From if you can trace all of these guys straight back.
I don't think the punk movement. I mean,
well, yes, it was.
I mean, the UK was in turmoil. They were going for the 3-day week at the time. Remember?
It was deliberately engineered. So they had the big garbage strikes on. So there's a fantastic movie called The Filth, The Fury that was directed by Julian, the guy that was the producer for the.
Well, that
he produced.
That's Julian, a big part of the new movie Joker, by the way, Garbage Strikes.
Yeah, of course.
That's a big part of that film.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yep. what we're seeing is organized chaos. Like that, so, in the Filth of Fury that Julian, what's his name's movie? He was something. He produced the Who Killed Bambi album, which was. I was 13 when Sex Pistols came out. I bought that album. I was a believer in the whole punk thing. I paid $16 for Who Killed Bambi in 1978 or 79 when it came out. The movie was never released in New Zealand, but the whole thing was an operation, and Lydon knew that, and when he got out in their last concert in America, and he goes, have you ever had the feeling you've been ripped off and walked off stage? The whole thing was an operation. There was nothing organic about it. It was an operation to cause chaos and to bring in the whole anarchic and the nihilist end of the 70s. It was nothing grassroots. I don't trust any of those bands that were the Clash.
Particularly. Well, you were a roadie for what was the name of that punk band in 86 that you were raiding for? They sound great.
No, that was a.
Were they metal? They were or sort of thrash metal, or
no? They were kind of punk. Massive Appendage.
Massive, yeah. It reminded me of Suicidal Tendencies. So they were
very
sort of skate,
very similar.
Skate yeah, punk.
Yeah, yeah. Long.
Joker's up to 174 million, by the way. I don't know if it will make that billion, but anyway, who knows?
It might not make a billion, but he's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. Joker's such a good film, I swear to God, everybody.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
You've got to watch it, man. You'll love it. Hey, well, you'll be up here with me next Saturday, The Angles and Susie DiMarchi, and we'll go and watch it on Sunday, hey. I don't mind watching it a fourth time.
Will you sit there and talk?
I've got a legally downloaded copy. If you want to watch it, just here at my place.
I'll take one of my kids to it because I said I would. So
yeah,
make sure you do it.
Yeah. We had when we went to watch it in the theater the second time, like a whole bunch of kids came in. And it's not really a kids movie, as far. I don't think it's really a kids movie.
As long as
you got a responsible adult, why not?
Yeah, but anyway,
this whole incel thing that they tried to push. I was trying. I don't think I got it through clearly on Fart Podcast 45, which is one of our best shows, by the way. I agree with you, Rick. I think it was one of our best shows. The incel, the way the mainstream media had to go at Joker because it didn't fit their narrative of what they want, but they never had a go at John Wick. I'm saying, why? Because when you watch Joker, it makes you feel funny, whereas John Wick is just a simple revenge flick. That's all it is. Yeah. They kill his dog, they nicked his car, he goes and kills them all.
I love the movie. I'm a sucker for revenge flick. I love it.
Yeah, same as my wife. My wife is big on revenge. If I fuck up, she's big on revenge.
But you've worked
with Keanu on The Matrix, and it's just an acting part. I mean,
no, I stood around and watched him act, basically.
He's very good.
He is good.
Isn't that the moves he does on like all those headshots and I mean, there's
he's
a lot
actually,
of killing
but in actual fact, the guy can actually back up his talents by he is a. Probably, I wouldn't say the best, but he's a good level shooter with doing that tactical shooting skill, which he's got. I've seen the footage of him.
I'd be interested to see Lawrence Fishburne doing the, what he did back in 97 when you were on set watching him get filmed. I don't think Fishburne is such a fat bastard now because all that mac he said that he ate.
I told you, he ate McDonald's. He did not eat the organic food that Keanu, and he was quite happy about that. Him and that guy, who was the bad guy in the movie with the New York guy with the moustache, it was the traitor that the actor.
Well, here we go. Ad break.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
Ooh, That's weird.
I'd say Hugo Weaving. Was he the bad guy? He was just one of the...
No. The guy that was their trainer, he was a kind of short guy with bald
stars. Yes, bald guy.
Yeah. Him and Fishburne hung out together and ate McDonald's. So they weren't stars. They were very easygoing. Fuck, what's his name?
Hold on, I'll look it up now.
But no, a really nice guy, very, very friendly, easygoing. Same with Fishburne, you know, no ego there.
Yeah, apparently the only thing is you don't do with Lawrence is ask for an autograph. He's not big on giving autographs.
But, well, you know, the guy's been...
Oh, Joe Politello. Yeah. How do I pronounce this? Joe Politello. You do it.
Yeah, Politello, or whatever.
Yeah,
Pantoliano.
But a great character actor and nice guy, very easygoing, no ego. You know, and
he's got a wicked voice. His voice is fantastic. Yeah,
well, one of the best actors in the Matrix is Harold Perrineau. Harold Perrineau is a fantastic actor.
Who?
The black guy.
Oh yeah.
Harold.
No. Huh? He played. He was one of the. He was also one of the team, wasn't he?
I think so.
Let me look it up.
He was in the jail HBO TV show Oz.
That was a fantastic prison show, right? That show was fantastic. Really gritty. I like gritty.
One of the best show ever. If you just. Like I already said that on Fakeologist Audio Chat, but if you don't find the time to watch the old show, just watch the part where Harold Perrineau is making the commentary on the episode, like the monologue that he's making through the episode.
Don't you think that with that there's Oz, and then there was the biggest show ever, the Orange is the New Black, is normalising this whole prison culture to be a really cool thing. You know, like, go to jail, it's quite cool, you know.
Yes, Oz was because first episode of Oz, he's a white guy getting in jail, and at the end of the first episode, he has a swastika tattoo on his ass, and he's fucked up the ass on a regular basis.
So Oz was an anti-jail movie. Orange is the New Black is a pro-jail movie.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's very much saying girls, really cool spot. There's lesbians and you can have fun. It's really cool. And you've got big stars at the moment. Big stars at the moment that are getting done for that college. Felicity Huffman's in jail at the moment. The star of Sex and the City.
Is it?
Oh, there you go.
It's this one, wife. Yes.
She's in jail at the moment, allegedly, for
school bribery scandal.
Which I believe. I totally believe that, you know, because it's the same here in Australia. We've got the Chinese that are paying money to get their kids into a better school and getting their grades up done.
It's not something that will make any type of scandal in Switzerland. I mean, if you have money, you want your kid to go to a good school. Fuck everyone. No one will tell you for that.
Yeah.
No one will say, Huffman, your kid to go to school.
Huffman formally pleaded guilty to honest services fraud on May 13, 2019.
Yeah, so she's in jail until next week.
14 days in jail upon her release.
Can I say that? Not the jail where they will try to fuck her ass with toothbrush or whatever.
We need Velocet here. There's always time for an immigrant! He always plays that. Yeah. Wow, how about that?
Mm.
Felicity Huffman.
Anyway.
I never watched Sex in the City. It bored me.
Anyway, listen, change the subject.
She was in Desperate Housewives, not Sex in the City, but the story is pretty also.
No worries. Okay, can we play Climbing Mount Fakeology by JLB? It's the top YouTube on fakeologist.com. I thought Ab would be here by now. I think he's doing some family things tonight, so that's why... He's not
right, well, we're having a pretty interesting conversation. There's a lot of stuff I've been trying to bring up for years. This is the stuff that I'd love to have John Adams on discussing, because the guy is one of the best social music as a social weapon experts that I've ever heard. I think him and Chris Kendall's discussions on punk and the whole punk rock and roll as a weapon is one of the best hoaxbuster stuff ever. And unfortunately, he's not on anymore. But I'm here to carry on.
It was nice to hear. At least it was nice to hear Ab and Nicola from Hoaxbusters, Chris Kendall, chat that other day. Even though you said he was a little bit,
he wasn't his normal self.
Yeah,
no, he sounded like he had his brother-in-law ringing up to borrow his lawnmower.
That's right. You know, he said that.
And that's the way he sounded like. You know, oh, do you really want to borrow it? Okay, we'll just fucking clean the cunt. But you know, that was the vibe I got off it. But
yeah, Kendall,
Kendall and Adams and Jay Dyer's ramblings on the early Hoaxbusters calls and the afternoon commutes were fantastic because they went every direction. Kind of like we've done tonight, actually, because there's a lot of stuff I've talked about tonight that I don't get a chance on the Fart podcast.
They're still available. They're still available on a thread or one of those when you can,
yeah, they are. They definitely are.
Yeah. Here we go. Big Grizzly thread. Found this big thread on Fakeologist Discord. I should have more space for these before they are lost from the Discord ether. Sorry, images don't paste well. So what's this one? Big Grizzly thread. Have you read this one? Russian bears are traditionally very smart at behaving. Tim Bear shows off his dawning skills. I don't know why he's put this on. Oh, it must be a Peter thing, is it? Performing. Why would Ab put this on fakeologist.com? Let me just read
because this. Because that was the big, let's say. That was one of the topic of discussion of the week. The bear fakery. The fact that... for centuries, even in Europe, there were bear showing, and now that everything is on video, it's more easy to discern what is fake or not.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Here we go. Let me read. Now, Rachel. Rachel's back, is she?
She is. Yes,
hold on.
Hold on. Something just went fucking crazy with my computer. I'm just trying to get to the comments.
Did you record this morning, Garris? Because I saw Guy and Fleegan's
No.
Okay.
Let's be honest. Sometimes when those two are in the same room, it can escalate quickly, and I rather not record them speaking with one another.
This is the thing that annoys me the most is argument. When you're trying to have a discussion and someone starts an argument, or you know, so you lose the flow of conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I was I was coughing pretty badly last night, so it was also technically more difficult for me to record.
So who was arguing? Who was actually arguing?
No, it was not really that they were arguing, but there is always the possibility that it will happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. As we said last week, Gaia is unfortunately got a scientific mind, and he wants to hear. Fact version. Sometimes it's best just to go all over the place and you know just be able to
like we do on the Fart podcast. And we're
doing
tonight.
Yeah,
the difference is
apart from me just over talking you then. The difference is we don't start. I go, Rollo, explain what you meant just before.
Instead like John LeBron. John LeBron does not like being talked over, but he was very good on the Fart podcast last week.
No, hey, listen, but LeBron, I will say this about him, I may disagree.
He's chilling.
He's very well spoken and very polite all the time. Very rarely, maybe a few times I've heard him be unpolite, but he is always respectful and he's always welcome on the Fart podcast because he was in good form.
He was in mean shit, which I don't mind. I mean, not meeting up with him in Bangkok. I mean, he made a point of it.
With my ear for audio chats, you and him make a perfect foil for each other, because he's kind of the straight guy and you're the bent guy. And it works. It really does work well. I mean, one of the funniest things he ever posted was it was only a basement. Was going, this is the, you know, the, it was you screaming at your next door neighbour, and he said,
"Oh yes, yeah."
And
by the way, I was walking Rosie again past, yes, and I said g'day, and same deal.
Really?
Same deal. Keep on walking, jeez, cunt. And I said, come on, can't we let bygones be bygones? Come on, yeah, after all this time. It's three years. He just goes, keep on walking, cunt.
I'm Rollo, and I'm a famous podcaster.
Famous. I'll be infamous when I take a baseball bat to his fucking head.
Oh, no, no. You look, the thing is...
Who was the guy that did that? In Al Capone, right? Back in the '30s,
did he smash
two guys? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. But did you know this? When they filmed was the movie that De Niro played Capone, and it was a good.
That's the one. Yeah, I know what I know. The film that you're thinking of.
The
Un,
something
yeah.
else. It was.
With Kevin Costner was the cop, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
What's it called?
In French, it's Les Incorruptibles. I don't know in English what it is.
It's called The Un.
I'll look it up. Yeah, it's a great film. It has what's his name? The fella from the first James Bond in it.
Sean Connery.
Connery's in it. Yeah, it's a great film.
When the director did it, he paid another actor a six-figure sum. So I'd say 400,000. I'd say probably $500,000 to be there just in case Robert De Niro said, no, I don't want to take the role of Capone, because he played Capone in that movie, The Untouchables.
Untouchables! You got there in the end, Rick!
Yeah.
You got there in the end.
Guess who the actor was that got paid? Regardless of taking the role or not, he was given. He said, "Just be there, be ready to come in and do the film, because I want De Niro to be the Al Capone, but you're the next star." It was Bob Hoskins, and I thought Bob Hoskins would have been fantastic in that role.
He would have,
because
he has that great voice. He's a bit short, but it doesn't matter on film. But
but he would have been more menacing than De Niro.
Oh, Hoskins can be incredibly menacing.
Did you see The Long Good Friday? Oh. That was directed by it was an Irish IRA gangster movie that had Bob Hoskins. It was produced by the same company that did Life of Brian. It was George Harrison's production company, and it was about the IRA.
Fucking good actor.
And Gareth, if you haven't seen
Long Good Friday? Is he still with us, Bob? Is he still with us?
He's dead.
Yes. He's gone.
Gareth, have you seen Long Good Friday?
Long Good Friday. No.
Fantastic. Listen, do yourself a favour. It's about the IRA. It's a gangster movie.
Okay.
And
one guy that played Al Capone very well is an Englishman named Stephen Graham. He played Al Capone on the TV show Boardwalk Empire, and he did a great job at that.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I've seen it. I know the movie you're talking about.
I remember him from Pennies from Heaven. God, Pennies from Heaven.
Fantastic.
This Long Good Friday with Helen Mirren, Bob Hoskins.
Helen Mirren.
Like, seriously, Hoskins could play the best fucking gangster. Yeah.
Oh, it's just
like.
One of the, it's
but
just
then
real,
he was in.
Well,
what was he in? He was in that with that cartoon rabbit, and that made him more money than anything.
Roger Rabbit. Which is a fantastic film.
It's got to be.
If you're into animation like wire and probably noise level, it's technically perfect. The stuff that they added in, you know, like the old style cartoon.
I reckon George Lucas actually based that Jar Jar Binks character on the prequel series on the fucking Roger Rabbit.
It's exactly the same voice, but it just
didn't work in Star Wars. Yeah, it just didn't work in Star Wars. But yeah,
everyone hates that character.
That Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I remember it in the video store at the time. It was
huge,
constantly rented out. Yeah,
I'll tell you, can I tell you? Just changing the subject.
Go for it.
The saddest thing I've ever seen, our local video shop, one of the last ever, closed down last week.
Mm.
And I kept thinking I should be going in there and renting movies just to help her out.
Nah,
you know, cause,
let it die.
But it's gone. It's sad.
It's
got to
go.
That,
I mean,
that was a thing, though, that you went to the video shop to get a movie.
Oh, man. They were the best times of my life.
Yeah.
They were the best times of my life. When I worked in the video shop.
Up till last week.
I worked in the video shop in the best years. I seriously did. In Lakemba, when I worked at Civic Video,
really?
I worked there for a
and
couple
Lakemba.
Of years. In Lakemba, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's full of
my God, I had such a good time. Yeah, it was full of Greeks and Lebos and Cypriots, and they were all... They're all having a little bit of a go at each other because at that time there was all that trouble in and there were the others there too because there was that trouble in Czechoslovakia it used to be called and then they split it up. Remember?
Yeah.
There was that trouble at the time, and then they were
all. That was the war.
And I'm there going, "Oi, cunts! Don't bring your goddamn war over here."
That was the war preempted by the movie Wag the Dog.
It was before that. It was Wag the Dog was 1988. The Bosnia Serbia Croatia thing was about 1991, 92. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
And
it
then,
was preempted.
Yeah.
It was preempted.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah.
The movie predicted.
It was a Wag the Dog. They wrote it afterwards. Yeah.
Which is I highly recommend anyone listening to this.
Best film.
Watch Wag the Dog again. Fantastic.
Yes. What's your favourite scene? I know my favourite scene out of it is when. When he goes, how close are you to the president? He goes, what do you want him to say? You remember that? And he gets on the phone and he goes, yeah, and he says that line. That's my favourite line out of that movie. Yeah.
When the CIA guy, William, what's his name?
Yeah.
Felicity Huffman's husband, the actor.
William
Huffman. Yeah. William.
Hold on.
It's the actor, he's a character actor that was in lots of movies. But he's Felicity Huffman's husband.
I haven't watched it in years.
He played the CIA agent. The CIA, and the CIA guy said, who are you? There he goes, you don't want to know. He goes, bigger than you, you know, like. which, he was the social engineer. He was the...
So who do we have it? We had Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, Anne Heche, Dennis Leary, Willie Nelson, Andrea Martin, Kirsten Dunst. That's right, you played the...
Hugo.
Is it one of those, or is it...
Yeah, no,
someone else?
Hugo.
Keep going? Hold on.
He's Felicity Huffman's husband.
Okay, hold on a sec.
It's
William H. Macy.
H. Macy. William H. Macy. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
He's one of the best actors.
He played the CIA. Said, "Who are you?" to De Niro. Like, how do you? What do you? You know. And De Niro just looks at him and says, "You don't want to know because we're bigger than you." You know, like, there's someone bigger than them. Which was the NSA or was he?
Yeah, he played Mr. Young, William H. Macy. Yeah. My favorite movie with him. I mean, I can't stress it enough, is that movie in the snow, 1996.
Oh, yeah.
What was that called? Was he in A Simple Plan? That was a
movie. No, you're talking about...
I don't think he was. No, I'm... Fargo.
Fargo, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, William H. Macy. And that, as talk about a downtrodden, you know...
Yeah, great actor. Great director. Whenever you see him in a movie, it's like Bob Hoskins. When these guys,
Bob Hoskins,
movie, you believe whatever they can do whatever they want, and you believe it.
Yeah.
And even to be honest, Kevin Spacey, who has been demonized big time, but probably
time,
rightly so. Rightly so, I would say. Cause he looks like
here
we go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
In my dream, I have a
He never liked being introduced onto the fart podcast under money.
When I picked the perfect song from the Backman Turner Overdrive,
yes,
he didn't like it. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah. Hey, and they sound rubbish. They sound rubbish here, but remember these audio chats go out in way lower quality than the Fart podcast.
Yes, sadly.
Audio chats. Did you hear how good now your the hair of the dog?
Yeah,
how good that sounded.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just top notch. Yeah, no, and I'm going to do a shameless plug to anyone who's listening to this Fakeologist audio chat with me, Rick, and Jerris. We have a brand new John Laws. It's not a pleasant call that I do with John Laws on the latest one, but there's a brand new one for next Friday, so make sure you listen for that. Me and Lawsy go toe-to-toe.
Sunday's better for me, I think. I don't think Friday's
better. Yeah, we'll go Sunday. Yeah, because you'll be here on Sunday.
Saturday. I'll be leaving your house
on Sunday morning. You're getting a crash here, aren't you? Uh-huh. I've got some good shit for you lined up. You won't want to be driving on it.
I just want a beer. I'm only drinking beer. I'm sorry.
Beer. That's fine.
I'm on a hike.
It's a great setup what they've got.
Could I tell you also the most wonderful story?
I'm
going to get a brand new roof and on my garage and my house. Thanks to that hailstorm. Not only do I get two new cars.
You get a brand new roof.
I got to replace my roof and garage roof. That's what I said. Yeah.
Let's do it again. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You do believe in him because you said, let's go through it again. What did you say, simply?
I said, I'm in the deep shit.
I need a break.
And that hailstorm gave me a big break. New roof. Okay. I mean, a new roof on a house and gas, $30,000 or $40,000.
That's good.
It's going to cost me.
I'd love to hear it.
It's going to cost me $1,000 because I have to pay an excess $1,000. So, but anyway, either way.
Fucking awesome. Well done. I like it. That means you'll have a good time. You'll be in a good mood when you're down here
for the
Angels and Susie. Yep. It'll be great.
The Angels, what they're doing at the moment is playing the whole album. I think it's No Exit, Dark Room. They're playing the album start to finish, which will be good because I love that album. So
good. Well, you know what Dragon did? You know, because your mate who sings with Dragon now,
not my mate,
not your mate, but yeah, I'm just saying because he's a New Zealander, right? Because you're a New Zealander, Mark Williams, cool guy too. He said, "You're listening to
cool guy.
I'm Mark Williams, and you're listening to Fakeologist.com, but Ab never used it for some reason." From Dragon, yeah.
What they did, they
played one set of covers and one set of original Dragon songs. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really good, and I don't know how Angels are going to do it, if they're going to play any covers. I don't think they need to. The Angels' repertoire is just fucking huge. They've got so many hit songs.
Yeah,
do you remember the night that Doc Neeson died? I was watching John Stevens from Noiseworks in a live show. And I went up to John Stevens to the front of the stage. I said, you know that Doc Neeson died tonight? And he goes, yep. Could you play an Angel song for us? He goes, absolutely. And then the very next song, the whole band broke into, am I ever going to see your face again? Can I request Jerris?
Yes.
The Angels.
I'm not going to see your face.
Your face again, and because I need to go for a cigarette, and then I'm gonna check out.
Yeah, I'll be checking out too.
Yeah, but
it's been good talk. It's been a good, great talk.
Yeah, Jerris, for sure.
Jerris, we'll relive your highlights next Sunday, I would say, of the CERN visit, which I really want to get on to the podcast.
Yes, that has not been mentioned, but I might go there next week, so it might even be better.
Even fantastica. Yes. Okay.
I think it has been a great conversation.
Yeah, it has been. As I said, one of the stuff I've got out, particularly the punk rock fake bullshit and the serial killer fake bullshit, which I'm just going with my instincts here. I'm no expert but I've got a great gut instinct, and I'm saying there's a lot of we've been told about serial killers is not true at all.
Yeah.
So it's been good chat. Thanks to Rollo turning up and you being a pro and being able to do the music. So Well, that was good. One we did with Guy doing the production in the background. He's got the great ear for the production as well.
It's not at all easy to do that on the cell phone sometimes.
No, for sure. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is my problem. I literally do all the shows on an iPhone, AirPods. There's no production. It's all done by Velocet, or you, or whoever does the thing. So yes. I'm happy. Sounds good. But yeah, I would like to go further, another conversation, though, about this situation and the whole punk rock thing, because, and then going back to the whole satanic rock, Black Sabbath stuff, which I also think is totally engineered. There's no, Black Sabbath was a band that was a blues band called Earth, and the next thing you know, they come out called Black Sabbath, demonic, upside down crosses, and yeah, they weren't originally like that. And Ozzy Osbourne himself and other guys in the band said, when they went to America, just had all these big hits there, they were getting followed around by these stations at the time, and they were like, we're not into that, you know. Like we were just, they were clearly told to rename their band Black Sabbath, and told to write songs about demons because or Christ or religion, because that's the angle we want you to go on. And I don't think they had any say in their repertoire or anything. I think they were an engineered band, like the Beatles.
Yes, I think that not that many musical artists have any say in what they are recording.
No, absolutely. Particularly with the gangster stuff. You know, there's no doubt my NWA a 100% engineered band.
What does NWA stand for?
Niggas with attitude.
Niggas with attitude.
You said it. You're in trouble. SJW is going to come after you.
Yeah, well, that's what they call themselves. And the fact that Dr. Dre got paid at $1 billion, allegedly, $1 billion for his ridiculous cheap plastic headphone, proves to me that he was a organized paid guy and paid off with that payoff to sell out.
Yes, most definitely Tupac Shakur was all an actor.
But did you know that Tupac was one of the greatest actors? There was the acting school, I think Juilliard in New York, said he was one of their best actors they'd ever seen prior to him becoming a character actor as this Tupac guy. And they said his talent was incredible. He could remember lines, he could repeat them backwards, he could do anything. So he was fake as well. And you could do just a whole show on the whole rap scene, for sure.
We can do a whole show on Wu-Tang Clan alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and there's another band. Whom I loved, fantastic, but I don't believe anything. I like to say Jimi Hendrix compared to Wu-Tang Clan. Jimi Hendrix, independent, thinker, creator, his own boss, put his own stuff out, which was nothing like anyone had ever done. And then you compare them to Wu-Tang that came out and played jail music, you know, and coke music, and music to do drugs. There's no comparison to Hendrix versus any member of the Wu-Tang.
One famous example. In the rap scene is Professor Griff from Public Enemy. He was approached at one point to change his tune.
Okay, well, Public Enemy is a completely different thing in my mind to all those other bands. They were a band that were very honest and very trustworthy. And the main guy, Chuck D, was a cartoonist for National Lampoon magazine, which was one of the best satirical magazines of the 70s and 80s, that none of it would be able to be re-released now because it was so politically incorrect. But Chuck D used to do a cartoon called Goobers, and it was a satire of Peanut, which was the biggest comic strip of America's history, with Charlie Brown, blah, 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 blah. Chuck D did his version, which was the black version of Peanut, and he called it Goobers. which was, I guess, a black nickname for Peanuts. Not sure. But the guy is a talent. I think he was aware of what was being done to them and sang about it in many of their lyrics. If you listen to Public Enemy lyrics, they're quite anti the gangster rap and think for yourself and don't end up in jail. Yes. That was the way that they sang their lyrics. I don't trust the his offsider.
Yes, the musical producer, the DJ Professor Griff, said that at one point during the height of the success of Public Enemy, they were approached by some record company exec that indicated to them that if they were to change the sound and the content of their lyrics, they might become the Black Beatles.
You know what? That's exactly what they could have become, but they didn't. And they disappeared because they never towed that line. Whereas NWA, look at the movie got released. Completely, it whitewashed them, pardon the pun, of yes. any blame. But look at Eazy-E, died of AIDS, allegedly, right? You know, he was actually yes. getting out there and speaking out against it. Next thing you know, he's dead.
Yes, and there is a, there is
if there is such a thing.
Yes, exactly. The thing is that there is a clip.
As if there is such a thing. Hey, you, who from Colombia has just joined us? Who could it be?
Hello, guys.
Hello.
I just wanted to mention one thing before we change the topic. Is that the Suge Knight, which was a record company exec, dodgy as fuck, is now in jail for murder. But anyway, supposedly, once again, allegedly the guy claimed on a video to have find a way to inject AIDS to Eazy-E.
Yeah, I believe that. He just got hit with the same cancer they gave Bob Marley, fast acting cancer, which was if you've heard
Bob Marley, then you dropped.
He got whacked. Yeah, you got Bob Marley. Whacked.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure, 100%.
Yeah, yep.
Huge.
Really? I've never heard it.
Bob Marley.
Yeah, I think it's his illness. Is it real? The cancer in your foot, is it possible?
They stuck when he put on the football shoes, the CIA guy gave him as a present. Yeah. He claimed he got like a big sting in his foot, and he pulled his foot out, and he was like, was sore. And about 3 weeks later, he had cancer of the foot.
I don't really trust him.
Anyway, welcome Gaia to the Fakeologist audio chat. From Colombia. Hey, dude, I just want to apologize. We had some technical issues, so you and Jerris both got scrubbed from our Bar Podcast 44.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a shame, but. Jerris, you said you had an email address that you wanted to put out, but I'm sure everyone knows it.
That was going to be one of my life points. You can join me at Friday Audio Chat at protonmail.com, and you can also support me on Patreon at patreon.com/FridayAudioChat. So yeah, those are the email address you can write me and send ideas or criticism or whatever you want. I will always answer. And the Patreon is something I set up to help me pay for the cost of the plane ticket to Colombia in January.
Yeah, when we get there in January. Can you just type it again into the general? Before I leave, I'd like you to play Angels with Dave Gleason, because that's what we're going to be seeing tomorrow, next Saturday. But yeah, I will read it out. Yeah.
Am I ever going to see it again?
Yes.
No, I want the bleeding.
I'm gonna get you out. And I never know that you are crazy.
There we go, that'll do. Cut it. Cut it, Jerris. Thank you, Jerris. Jerris, our super-duper producer tonight. That was awesome, and that's Dave Gleason singing for the Angels. It's a quintessential Australian, the way the guy sings and the audience participates. Frank, are you there?
I am receiving. Over.
G'day, mate. I haven't spoke to you forever. It seems like for years. How are you?
It seems like the first time to me, though.
Okay. We're here on the Fakeologist Audio Chat. We're here with Gaia. Jerris is producing tonight. You just missed Rick. I think Rick might have left. We're going to go and see the Angels with Dave Gleason. Obviously, Doc Neeson's passed away next Saturday night here in Newcastle.
He's just going to turn up later as a New South Wales parliamentarian, Riley. You know that.
Who's this?
The guy who said he'd died.
Doc Neeson?
Yeah.
No, Doc Neeson, apparently, this is tragic. I mean, he was waiting on the Harbour Bridge and a truck smashed into the back of his car and it wrecked him, and he was no good after that. I watched, you know, John Stevens. Do you remember the band Noiseworks?
Yeah.
I was at Hamilton watching them live the night that Doc Neeson passed away, and I said to John Stevens, I said, could you guys play an Angel song, you know, for Doc Neeson? And they went, the very next song they played was Am I Ever Going to See Your Face, which is quintessential Australia. You know how the band, the audience enjoys, you know, Am I Ever, yeah, I'll do it to you, Frank. Am I ever going to see your face again?
No way. That, get.
Yeah. Get what?
There's a block. There seems to be some kind of block on that. I don't.
I need some more salt, by the way. I've got to get on you. How's the salt?
Then I shall send you a 3-kilo tub.
Wonderful. I want, that salt has lasted me. Yeah, you only gave me a tiny little tub, and that's lasted me in 2 years. I haven't seen you in 2 years. But since
is
I went down.
2 years,
to,
really?
When we, Luke Biskin.
Yeah. Is that 2 years ago? Wow.
Was it? It was about that. It's quite a long time ago. Right. I've been since
Paradise,
been to,
but you've never been to me.
Yeah. Oh, you suck there, Captain and Tennille?
I don't think so.
I've been to Paradise. Come on, do a quick search. It's good to hear your voice. Your mic's top notch.
What's going on? Marcus Allen recommended microphone.
Marcus Allen, we were discussing him last week on the Fire podcast. Yeah. Do you remember Howard Stern doing a prank on Marcus Allen? It was kind of funny. What Howard Stern and Marcus Allen? Marcus Allen got pranked by the. I mean, when it comes to radio DJs, I'd say he's number one. John Laws in the.
I would agree with you. So I think that confirms the view that Marcus Allen is Tony Greenberg, doesn't it?
Oh God. I said to John Laws because we've got a brand Lawsy, new call
said,
for the
Lawsy?
New, I said Lawsy. You know, apart from Howard Stern, you are number two. he goes, you're kidding, yeah. I'm doing spoilers for the next part podcast, but he thinks he's number one. I go, no, Howard Stern's number one, mate.
But they're not in the same market, though. Laws,
no, I was just yanking
his
chain.
Market, isn't he?
I was just yanking his chain, Frank. I was just yanking his chain just to see what reaction I get, you know.
He's an elderly citizen. I don't think you should...
85.
...the chains of anyone over the age of 60.
Mm. Look, he'll keep doing... He'll probably drop dead on the mic. That's what he'll do. He'll do a Tommy Cooper or you know, drop dead doing what you love, because sometimes when you retire, you lose your will to live.
Tommy Cooper dropped in on the job, like Billy.
Yeah, King. Look at that. He died on stage, and they've got it filmed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, just
singer from, it's pretty well known. Yes.
Yes, there is a singer from Congo named Papa Wemba that also collapsed on stage of a cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Best death ever if you're a singer or a performer.
Sid James, the Jewish actor who did Sid James? He was always in those.
He was on
Carry On,
Half Hour, Carry On movies.
Yeah, he died. Apparently, died on stage. Yeah. They thought he was joking because Sid James was a famous joker, and everyone was laughing. It's this Tommy Cooper one is it's the people are laughing because they think he's joking, but no, he has a massive heart attack on stage. Here we go. I'll just post it now. Yeah. Yeah, he was the same. He just died on stage. Yeah, why not die doing something you love? You've spent your whole life being an actor or whatever. Yeah. Oh, shit. Did I post the right thing? No. Hold on. What the hell have I done? Oh, no, here we go. There we go. Copy, paste. Come on. I'll stick your shit together. So how's life treating you, Frank?
Never been better. Really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. There's Tommy. There's Tommy. Tommy dies live on stage. Yeah. Yeah, good. And the business is going well. And I look forward to seeing you and Luke again. I mean, I never had such a good time. Yeah, I had a good, such a good time that night with you. And
yeah,
you,
it was
mate.
Pretty good fun.
Oh, it was the best fun. It was like, all right, I was enjoying myself a little bit too much, but I still enjoyed your company. And especially the way we started out. We didn't start out the best of friends, but I can't say we're best of friends now.
Well, I always
like
remain skeptical of anyone that tells me they absolutely hate me and then tells me they love me. Yeah, Rollo.
As long as I'm not indifferent towards you, hey. Frank.
Well, I was just, you know, I'm just putting it out there that you know, I'm always going to be a little bit, you know, a little.
When you appeared on the Fart Podcast last week as a pre-record? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Fart Podcast 45. When the Golden Skidmark first came onto, is now known as Noise Level, first came onto the Fakeologist audio chat, you and Del Quar and
you're mistaken. You're mistaken here. It was Tom Delpera.
Was it Tom Delpera, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
I might disagree with you guys. I think it was
in the Golden Skidmark? In the Golden Skidmark?
No, the Golden Skidmark is Noise Level, yeah.
Yeah, and, I know, but it's Tim Bold, it was with Tom Delpera.
Was it Tom Delpera, was it? Okay. I'll have a re-listen, but I thought it was Del Quan, but no.
I haven't.
But what you didn't say, yeah,
Tom
but Delpera what you
left
said was...
the Fakeologist Discord this week. He rejoined a month ago, never posted anything, and he left yesterday.
Who is Tom Delpera?
Tom Delpera.
Tom Delpera. Del Quar,
yes.
Oh,
Delpera. Delpera or Tom Delpera?
Delpera, hey. Delpera.
Okay, Delpera, okay. He was invited
well,
as
he's notorious.
A special guest back by us. Special, he had a special role, like a long-time member or so, something like that.
Yes.
Well,
but he's not here anymore.
Well, make sure
you met him live, Rollo, and there's no contact.
Yeah, yeah, I did, Guy, and I'll be meeting you live in January. So make sure.
I hope the contact will not disappear in February. That's the thing, right?
No. Well, if I do, I mean they can look you up. But the thing is, Guy, just make sure you message me with absolute dates. So I need absolute dates so I can book flights and whatnot.
Yes,
so make sure you do all of that for me and just give me like
a shopping list.
Yeah, exactly. So I just need to
know. And I hope you're flying
exactly
directly from
no, we can't. Apparently we have to fly to
New Zealand.
No,
Chile,
and then up to Colombia. Yes. Yeah, that's right. We already looked, actually
very easy flight. It's Sydney, Auckland, Santiago, Bogota.
That's it.
Very
easy. Yeah.
But, well, you should be able to fly straight over the South Pole. You should be there in no time.
No,
but the Earth is
way longer and way windier.
That's why I don't understand. You should be flying straight over the South Pole. I don't know why it goes such a long
way.
You're
going north? Why? That's stupid.
But what do you mean you're going north?
First,
the most direct flight is
from Bogota.
No, it's the most direct flight is
Guy, you got to remember,
you're about 40 degrees south. You're 30 degrees south or so in Sydney. And you're 5 degrees north in Bogota.
Hey, Frank, you still are a flat earther, aren't you?
Everyone is.
Yeah, everyone is.
Bullshit. Because with the sea level, it's a base level, it's a Dayton sea level. And the sea level is by definition curved because the Earth is curved. It covers the Earth. So by definition, we use curvature in everything we do.
By definition, how do you draw your ore body models, Guy?
What's ore body models? No, sea level is
a
Dayton. Sea level
is not a geologist.
I'm not an ore geologist. That's true. I'm a basin.
You don't use
basin model. Basin model, way larger than ore body.
Yeah. So when you do your basin model,
sea level is datum. Sea level is curved by definition in my model.
Send me a picture of your model.
Picture of my model. I follow the model of the Earth that is convex, and we can test it together.
When you
get out to the beach together, and I will prove you that the Earth can only be convex. Why? How do we do that? We stand on the beach together. Let me finish. We stand on the beach. We stand on the beach together. I put my drone in the air. We look at my phone. We see the drone, and the sun sets, and we still can see the sun with the drone. That is only possible when the Earth is convex and the sun disappears behind the horizon.
Who made up that theory?
That's not make up. We can test it.
I'm saying that is
proof that the Earth can only be convex.
I'm saying that's incorrect.
You're saying it's incorrect that when you put a drone in the air, you can still see the sun?
Yeah, because the higher you go, the further you're going to see the sun, either on a flat model or a curve. That's nonsense.
Sorry, no, you cannot see the sun anymore because it's behind the curve. That's the problem.
I don't agree with you, but here is something that we can agree on. Here is something we can agree on. You told me you just use computers to make a model.
No, I also go into the fields, but yeah.
You just told me you made a model, and you put it up on the computer screen. Do you do these things, yes or no, Guy?
I used to make basin models. I used to make basin models of whole basin.
Okay, so tell me about those basin models. Do they have blocks in them?
Blocks in them, yeah.
Yeah, and do they have lines telling what the RL of the various points are?
Of course.
And are those points? Those are
the sea level as datum, and that is flat in your model. That's the easiest way to use it. But sea level is curved. That is the point. Sea level is curved.
Hold on. So how come you never draw it as a curve?
Because we use sea level as the datum, and that is by definition already curved. So you don't need to do that again. You are applying a flat idea on the current reality. So you just
believe stuff you're told. You've got no proof of anything.
No, I make my own observations.
And you can't fly over the
same photos of the sun and the moon and Jupiter. Have you seen the photos?
How do the airplanes like? I don't need to talk about it anymore, Guy,
because I've now heard you confess publicly on television that you made a flat model. That's all I needed to hear.
You're based on a curved surface, and you missed that step.
I didn't miss it. You leave that out.
You say that people assume the Earth is flat. No, they don't.
You claim it's curved.
You take sea level as a datum, and sea level by definition is curved. So, yes, you take the curvature into account all the time.
Sorry, I just don't. If it's true, there's no proof.
All right. I'm sorry I brought this up. Is this the right room for an argument?
I think it's great. I really appreciate you bringing it up.
And after the break, I will play a nice song. So you will?
Hard style?
No. A good Dutch song for tonight.
Okay. No worries.
Yes, guys, yeah, we have to leave you because it's 12 p.m. here and I got to do something, so I have to leave it there, but it has been a fantastic discussion. Thank you, everyone, and you can reach me on Discord or at FridayAudioChat@protonmail.com. Have a nice day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's Friday at, what was it again? God, his language, his French is so thick, or his accent is so thick.
I think he's Belgian.
He's Belgian, is he? Yeah.
So
Frank, yeah, if you want to come and join the FAR podcast, I'm gonna do a shameless plug for us. Yeah, we did use when the Golden Skidnar came and joined. You said something about the cultural boundaries of the Golden Skidnar. Yeah, he's one of our main guys now, noise level. You're more than welcome to come and join us.
We have
our best producer as Velocet is our wonderful producer, and it's fantastic. And the audio quality, I mean, what Ab does here is I think he crunches it down to 16. I don't understand it very well, but it's not really as good as that. What is it?
Kilobytes per second.
Yeah, it's 16. It's not as good as ours. Ours is like it's like FM quality. Yeah, and sorry again, sorry Guy, that you just got you and Jerris got lost in the ether. It's not me.
It is the comments about Adam Green. That is.
I don't think Jerris believes in ether, does he?
It's indeed funny that we used it for so long, ether, as for radio signals.
And that's completely incorrect, isn't it?
Even according to the model, because they said that ether starts at space, not here, right? Not in atmosphere.
But they don't know what they're saying, Guy, and neither do you. It's so amusing.
Got lost in the. It just didn't get recorded. Let's just put it simply. It didn't get recorded, and the fucking Craigbot decided it shat itself. And don't worry, there were plenty of swear words.
I mean, oh, Craig is a bear. Craig is a bear, so never trust bears, right? It's the lesson of the
week. Well, it's recording us tonight. We're being recorded twice now. We're being recorded on Craig. We're being recorded on the Streamerbot. So. I don't think tonight we'll get lost. Yeah, but it's nice to have Frank back. You're still a regular fakeologist.
I don't think I've ever been a regular fakeologist. Rather, I've been dismissed from this organisation multiply.
Okay. Why?
But mostly because of my Dallas Goldbug behaviour.
Oh, Dallas Goldbuggery, as Ab calls it. Yeah, I don't think we'll get Ab tonight. He's got family things on, so we won't have him on tonight. Yeah, I mean, that's me and you had a bit of a fight over Dallas Goldbug to start with, didn't we?
Everything. We had a fight about
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, but then we got over that. I mean, just...
Well, maybe you did, but I'm still traumatised.
Come on. You don't sound traumatised.
Well, you know.
You sound very calm and relaxed.
How do you mend a broken heart?
How do you mend a broken heart? I don't think I betrayed you that much. I just said, I remember when we had our fight, I said, I don't know, we just had just a back and forward where it was, what did I say? It was, I can't even remember what it was. It was, oh, here we go.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
don't, I never will.
Gaia,
what do you think of
Saturday Night? Who sung it?
Yeah, this is a very special guy. I will tell you about him. And I've shared videos where he appears on television, mainstream television, with not one, but three alcoholic drinks in front of him, and on top of his head, a cockatoo.
A cockatoo?
A cockatoo, yes. Yeah. This guy used to be the national drug addict. And artist, musician, and whatever. A very intelligent guy. Extremely intelligent, but extremely damaged by every kind of drug he had in his body. So, Rollo, you didn't look bad in the video last week. You were just celebrating Halloween early, I would say. But this guy, he did something special. And I now realized what he did when I looked it up last week. This guy committed suicide in the middle of Amsterdam by jumping off the Hilton Hotel in the middle of summer, but on a special day, I would say, now thinking about it. The last 2 months of the 90s, this guy missed, because it was on the 11th of July 2001, 2 months before 9/11. I think this guy knew what was about to happen, and he wanted not to live in the clown world. And go out with a bang. I think that was his plan, and that worked out.
All right, come on, help us out. Who was it then? What was his
Herman
name?
Brood. This is Herman Brood. What's his name? And he was famous on TV.
Did he have a band? Yeah, there was a band, or
a band. And also
what was his band name?
Paintings.
I like the song Saturday Night.
Yeah.
Sorry, guy. Did you say surname was Goat?
Brood, which means bread.
G-O-A-T?
No, Brood, bread.
A Brood. Okay.
B O R O O D. Brood. It's Dutch for bread.
Maybe
a Jewish last name, I don't know. But
it was an easygoing song, Saturday Night. Saturday Night.
So I would like Phyllis said to use that instead of a stupid Heil Hitler sample that I asked politely to remove. And you
I know. Phyllis, Gaia.
You're the producer. I'm on top of that.
Don't worry, okay, I'm cool. On top of that. I know.
So you're this.
Don't get upset. Don't worry. I've made a dick of myself in the past. Look, we have some Australian bands that. Frank, who sung Saturday Night? Saturday Night.
Saturday Night song, so maybe there's an Australian.
Now, who was the lead singer of INXS? That was Michael Hutchins and Jimmy Barnes. Didn't they go, Saturday, what a day? Was that them?
No, I don't know.
Man. There's so many Saturday songs.
I found it.
You found it? Guys on the case. Yeah. Oh, we don't need to hear it now, do we?
I'm going to jump down, turn around, hold on tight. Gonna move it to the left, gonna move it to the right. People, let me tell you when I feel all right. When I'm bumping with my baby on a Saturday night. Saturday night. Saturday night.
original stimulants in the room. Why doesn't he come on the recording?
Yes. Oh, from... What's his real name? He's a
Russ,
Freemason.
Russ.
Yeah, Danger Russ. Danger Russ, come and join us. Right. Danger Russ. Yeah,
hold on. Original stimulant.
Yeah, he's a great guy. But yeah, there's Tommy Cooper, Dines Live on stage. You want to play that?
No.
Guy, you're the producer. You're producing now.
It's a bit depressing, isn't it?
Can't
we have someone come to
life? I don't think it's depressing.
Completely agree with Frank. Please, don't do this. We can all find it on YouTube if we want, right? There's no need to play this live in the chat. Please, Frank.
All right, fair enough. I'm not depressed.
I want to have someone coming back to life on stage.
I want to die right now, talking to you guys, will live forever.
Just because of death. You can only do it once, so do it right.
Oh. Yeah, I'll make sure I'm over there with you guys.
Thank you so much.
And I will go there with you to the volcano and jump into death.
Well, I could have done that. I could have done that when I was over in, where was I?
Vanuatu,
yeah. I could have easily ran down and jumped into it.
By the way, I mean, what a side, man.
There's no fences.
How was the active lava? No, there's no fences, nothing.
No. Have you not seen the video?
But I don't know if there are fences in other places.
It's as hot as fuck, too, when it's not fully erupting, it was only... They have different grades.
It's not erupting.
Yeah.
It's
just bubbling.
It's magma. It's magma in the end. Yeah, like looking
great.
At not an,
I wouldn't have not have missed that for the world. And if it wasn't for you, Guy, I would not have been there because you were the one that suggested it.
Yeah.
Go to Vanuatu. And I went there and on your recommendation. And I was not disappointed apart from me wrecking my finger on one of those swing rope things. What a fuck with
I. But it could have happened anywhere, Rollo, knowing you, right?
Yeah, could be, yeah. That's
so is your finger come good, Rollo?
It's nowhere near as mangled as when I went down to see you, Frank.
Yeah.
That was straight afterwards, and it was horribly... I couldn't do anything with it. I showed it on the video. Remember that video that we did?
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
On the way back to the airport? Yeah. Yeah, it was mangled. It kind of works now. It's still bent and messed up. But there you go. I'm not going to lose it. I thought I was going to lose it, Frank. I thought I was going to.
Rick has joined
out
us.
Of fingers. Who?
Rick.
Who? Oh, Rick's back. Rick. Is he? Oh, Rick.
Hey,
he's back. Yay.
Hey,
he probably
hey,
had to do
hey,
some shit.
He's back. Anyway, I'm glad your fingers got better.
Thank you, mate. Here we go. I'm just trying to find this In Excess. Rick, who sung Saturday Night? It was In Excess with Jimmy Barnes, wasn't it? It's a cool little... Oh, no, I'm thinking of Good Times. Good Times. Saturday Night. You know the song.
I'm just reading Fakeologist's blog, and I put everything on there, and I put on there to Garris that, what was it? It would cause me an aneurysm. And I said, you'll be fine. You survive black holes with white goo. I'm confident in your abilities. And that is now on the in the bear talk about fake bears. Okay.
Oh, it was Cold Chisel that sung it. Here we go.
Cold Chisel sang that?
Yes, it's Cold Chisel. Here we go. Let me just listen to it. Then I'll post it. Yeah. It's Yeah, this is it. Oh, and it's got radio too. Here we go. Play this.
Send it to me and I play it.
Here we go. No, there it is. It's in general there now, mate.
Yeah, that's the thing. Keep it centralized, please. I mean.
All right, send it to you.
No, it's fine. Then I will keep it in general. Then I will go to general. There's no problem. But
all right, general. There you go.
I get it.
It's in general, mate.
I'm here.
Hey, Rick. Hey, we're here with Frank.
Yes.
We're here with Frank and Officer Salt Bidet, Exoteric Guy.
Hey, Rick, I've heard I owe you more salt. I heard your package got to you all broken and stuff.
No, that was Velocet. That was Velocet, mate.
Velocet.
The salt guy,
yes.
The greatest
voice on psychologist.com.
The Brutus voice.
Yes.
He's got the
What's happening, Rick, in the background?
I just did the test that Frank has the best voice, most easygoing, nicest, especially on the podcast.
Hey, Rick, tell Frank about how we played him last week. Remember with Golden Skid Mark, his first?
Yeah.
And he sounded very pensive, you'd say, the word.
No, because he knew what Skid Mark meant.
And Frank said the cultural boundaries or something. It was great.
Frank Scott, highly evolved mind.
That's funny to say to someone who doesn't believe in evolution.
I don't believe in evolution.
I don't believe in anything.
Evolution is for anyone
that is credible. No, man, it's everywhere evolution. Around. It's everywhere around you.
Now,
everywhere.
Nowhere.
Evolution
nowhere.
Is in
Show
everything.
Me where. Show me where
in
evolution.
Everything.
Show me.
I cannot ask Cuban Dali. You cannot.
Forget about it.
That is not nice to talk about her on air like that, and that is not true. I talked to her afterwards, so.
Now, listen, where is she?
They say you want some evidence.
Come on, someone's personal life can never trump an argument. That's not, what she says is important. Her personal issues are not the point here.
Listen, Guy, evolution is a fraud. There is
For
no
you, response. Maybe. I cannot unsee it. I see it everywhere, in everything.
I see it nowhere.
Well, yeah, that's a different. I cannot understand that you don't see it.
Evolution was a Darwinism. It's fake. It's completely fake.
Why?
What's the evidence? Where do you see any evidence?
Everything evolves. Everything. It's niches. Ecological niches competing, you see, in humans.
Give me an example of human behavior
and animal behavior are so close.
But give me an example of a dog turning into a cat.
Strip away all the clown rules and look at humans as what they are. We are animals clearly. All the physiology we have in common with other apes. It's so clear. I cannot unsee it.
So tell me, why did they fake the Piltdown Man?
One hoax never trumps a whole.
But hang on, there's more than one hoax. I'm just asking the first one. Why did they fake the Piltdown Man?
I mean, if they fake a battle in a war, that doesn't mean that there are no battles in any war whatsoever. That is not an argument, you see?
It is an argument. Why did they fake the Piltdown Man?
Why do they pull off a terror hoax? Same thing. I mean, they have their own motivations. Because we will never know.
It is exactly the same thing.
Probably on the lower level. Money because and fame. No, what? You're claiming something.
No, you're lied to all the time, and you still accept it. You're lied to repeatedly.
I am going off my own observations. That's the point.
But what observations?
Confirm that evolution is in everything.
Give me an example. Look at
fakeologists that evolves. We have niches. We compete.
It doesn't evolve at all. Yes. People put in intelligent thought. What you're saying is that the intelligent thought is not intelligent thought. You're saying it's some accident.
A chihuahua comes from a wolf. I call it devolution, but it is evolution. It's man-made evolution.
But what is evolution?
The modification of the next generation by external factors. If you ask me, I will explain it, but let me explain it.
Without you
taking any pre-assumptions, because that is what you do, because you think that there is only one model of evolution. There are many models of evolution.
To cars,
I am you would call Lamarckist, because I think that the environment has a lot of influence on genes or whatever the next generation. So not a blind evolution of Darwin. What Darwin said and trial and error thing.
New rules of evolution.
No, not at all. There are many different views in evolution. I'm a biologist.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, evolution's fraud, complete fraud, anything to do with that gang, fraud, Darwin's fraud, I'm sorry.
There's no need to be sorry.
But why would you call that all fraud? I mean, how can you not...
Because he's a liar.
We have flies that that have wings but cannot fly. It's evolution. Well, it's devolution. Evolution, listen, right? We have actively changed genes and so. Right. How can evolution be a fraud?
What's the evidence?
What is the fraud? Where's the fraud?
Because they lied about everything.
That is not an argument. You're just repeating it in a different way.
I'm asking you to give me an example of this changing gene thing.
What I just said, there are flies with wings, but they cannot fly.
Well, when did that happen? Right. When did a fly with wings?
Oh, in the last. There's so many changes with genes in the last hundreds of years.
Right. I'm just asking you one example.
Plants, new races of plants.
Just stop talking.
Did you ask me something? And
I'm asking you.
You asked me something.
You sound like John Laws now.
I'm just asking you one example.
Did you know? That carrots are only orange because of the Dutch.
Yes.
Because carrots. Yeah, exactly. That is evolution.
No, it's not. That is people. That is people taking a deliberate step. That's not accidental.
But okay, we are doing a natural process, but then faster.
No, we're not.
Yeah,
no, we're not. We are cross-pollinating. Doing things with intelligent intent.
Yes.
Okay, so that's not evolution, is it?
We're applying the same man-made
change.
You have just proved
create waves in a school, we're replicating nature, right?
No, hang on a second. You've just told the technique that it's done with intelligence. Therefore,
yeah, of course,
you are saying that we have been created intelligent.
No, that is your assumption. That is
intelligent creation.
I'm not saying that. That's a straw man.
You told me carrots went from purple to orange because of intelligent thought.
Yes.
So you have proven directly. You believe in intelligent creation.
That is your interpretation. That's not my word.
But hang on.
This is straw man.
You told me
you're
that we turn carrots from purple to green. Purple to orange.
So, and that you're...
And we did it intelligently.
That step I don't take. We did it
intelligently.
Yeah.
So all evolution is done with intelligence.
I mean, waves we can make intelligently. That doesn't mean real waves are not created by nature. What's my guy?
Oh, hang on a second, guy. Which is it? You've just given me an example of intelligent design.
Yeah.
Right. So intelligent
a natural process.
Not evolution.
Evolution happens everywhere around us.
It's just proven.
What have you studied of biology, man? Do that first, and then say it's a fraud.
And then come
with an alternative.
That's an appeal to authority.
For an alternative, wait, Frank, an alternative explanation for the current and past biodiversity we have. And explain that.
I'll do that for you.
Because that is crickets. That's the only thing I hear.
I'll do it for you.
You're
there was a creator, and he did the stuff. That's the way you made the carrots.
What? Every baby is created or so? I mean, what?
Well, you know, God created, the Bible says that every animal will have animals according to their own kind.
But after that, it's nature.
And dogs, don't give birth to cats. Dogs don't give birth to cats, they give birth to dogs.
Yeah, no, nobody says so, what the fuck? I mean, they're completely different lineages. That's the thing. That's how stupid you come across. The current model, the biology, the taxonomy, the evolutionary model, the paleontology. What are fossils then? Right? Well, come on, man.
You're telling me we all came from the same thing?
They're planted by God or so? I mean, come on.
Fossils were just old creatures that were already there, and they're mainly sea creatures.
Not all of them. Mm-hmm. You have plants, you have everything. You know, I mean, how much do you know?
Yeah, but they're not.
What the fuck, man?
Creature turning into a different creature. They're just the same.
Oh, no? That is how we date the rocks, man.
So how come every time they get a bone with flesh, they say, we don't understand that? The dating system is crap to go, you know that.
No. No, it is based on certain assumptions, and there's huge uncertainties. And every geologist knows that, and that's what he or she applies every day in his work. That's why a geologist makes a perfect truth seeker, because you deal with so many uncertainties, because we don't know how the Earth was 200 million years ago. We can only use what the clues we have to make models, and that is what I've done for 20 years already, so... I know what I'm talking about, because
I think you're delusional.
Hey, Frank.
You're making personal attacks without any...
Hey, Frank.
I am making a personal attack, because what you said was that you demonstrated to me, you gave an example that we turned carrots from purple to orange, and you acknowledged that it was done by intelligent work of men. So you proved... completely that what you call evolution is...
Oh, that is a step you take and I don't take, and don't put it on me. That's a straw man. Don't do that. That is what you think. That's what you think. That's not what I say.
Well, how can it be evolution if men do it?
Huh? If we replicate a natural process, creating a tsunami is not the same as a real tsunami, but it is replicating a natural thing. We do it all the time.
We make alloys, we make isotopes, we make iron.
We play.
Keep throwing in one red herring after another. Let's stick to the carrots.
That is a man-made thing. But it's replicating a natural process.
No. How can it be replicating a man-made process, a natural process, if people do it? That's completely illogical.
Because we do it with everything, like with waves. We make everything we do to replicate.
People do it by intelligent design.
Yeah.
It's like someone telling me that cars have evolved over time.
So waves are created by God. That is your idea. Waves are just randomly created by God. It's not based on a physical, chemical process, thermodynamics in the background. Gaia's
force. I never said that at all. I said the Earth was created by God.
Then, you see the analogy. I mean, if you replicate a natural process, the natural process is not...
What happened to the carrots? You don't like the carrot argument anymore. You introduce the carrots, but you don't like it because you've been whacked by it.
No, I'm not.
I
go about arguments, and I've not heard anything and any explanation of biodiversity. Why do humans look so much like apes? So much. Study them. Look at them.
Okay, well, so let's talk about apes. Can we now talk about apes?
How come? Were the apes attacked by God, and then, let's do the apes first, and then the humans? Or so? What is the idea? Give an explanation.
Tell me about how apes have got a different set of chromosomes than humans.
Because we all have different chromosomes. I mean, that is, what is the point?
We've got a different number of chromosomes.
Yes.
Okay, so how can we be evolved from apes?
A mongoloid, a human has 47 as well, one more. Okay.
So how can we be evolved from apes if we've got different chromosomes?
In the past, there were different chromosome patterns, and they evolved different patterns. I mean,
Because what I've just said is,
it's fractals. It's the tree, dendro. Yeah?
The basis of genetics is that doesn't occur.
Why not? Because we can replicate it with ourselves. We can make dog cat breeds, plants crossovers.
We can make dog and cat breeds?
Of course.
How did it do that? Give me an example of that.
By combining, by speeding up evolution. If you put the animals on an island, and that's why on islands you have, and that's what Darwin, where Darwin started, on the Galapagos Islands, of course.
So you are
like
claiming
to go there, but you see all the differences, small differences between the islands, showing that they're adapting to the environment. And that's
you're
what
claiming
we
that
see
dogs
everywhere.
Cats.
Adaptation to environment.
You're
right?
Claiming
the evolution. What the fuck, man? Stop this bullshit. Straw man and
you're the guy that said.
All right, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. Ready? Is everybody going to come? Everyone, take a deep breath. Deep cleansing breath. Okay, it's Saturday night. We just lost Rick. I don't think Rick wanted to be a part of this.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey, Frank. Yeah, Frank. It's always good to hear from you. Make sure you come and join us on the FAR podcast. We'd love to have you there. Gaia, I'm sorry that we lost you and Jareth. I'm going to bail.
Over there. Come on, man.
Yeah, no worries. But I'll see you. Make sure you email me.
Yes.
Or message me and just tell me the details exactly when I'm coming to Colombia.
Yes.
And you guys keep arguing or robustly.
It's just disgusting. This guy is throwing straw men at me. I mean, why would I discuss anything with him?
All right, okay. So I'll
throw men at
you. You're on psychologist.com audio chat.
Inventing things I never said. What the fuck?
See you guys.
See you guys.
Bye bye.
I'm reading the video, and that's all, folks.